This is Mae Brussel. It is the second half of broadcast number 752, and I'm going now from Stanford Technology, and Edwin Wilson and Frank Turpel and Otto von Bolschwing and Ronald Reagan to Mr. Ernest Kaiser, who worked with Edwin Wilson and Frank Turpel. Kaiser familiar with Joseph Mengele from Brazil, his home base, and now I'm going into altering our scientific environment. It is very important. When I talked about AGS before, Advanced Genetic Sciences, I quoted just a page from Anthony Cave Brown's book, The Last Hero, the story of Wild Bill Donovan of the OSS and then the CIA. And in 1948, when the CIA was formed, Donovan got together a group, and they were very busy with biological weapons, to use them as weapons, and they set up studies on biological weapons and groups or installations they would choose to attack, specific applications of psychological warfare, economic warfare, chemical warfare, radiological warfare, and given this mentality, in 1948, with so much on biological warfare, I go to AGS. Now, Time Magazine, April 21st, 1986, has a story about genetic engineering. On the front page, where it has the table of contents, page 3, there's a big block. It says, science. Critics are blocking biotechnology from breakthroughs. To most scientists, genetic engineering using recombinant DNA techniques, otherwise known as gene splicing, represents no threat to man, beast, or crop, and could prove a boon to U.S. farmers. But important experiments outside the laboratory have stymied in court some zealous naysayers led by Washington gadfly Jeremy Rifkin. Now, I'm not going to share the Time magazine because it's in every library, and many of you take time. I'll pull out certain details of it, but I want you to see the negativity because Jeremy Rifkin is fighting Advanced Genetic Sciences. I don't know who's behind a lot of the others, Monsanto Chemical, but he's fighting IG Farben, DuPont, Standard Oil, Harvard, Princeton, and the powers that be that will do to us as they have done with their nuclear expertise and make a great disaster of this planet Earth. Now, the LA Times had an article, an editorial, Rifkin against the world, as if Jeremy Rifkin is an enemy of the world. And this is very important, how the major corporations that made Zyklon B, that brought Project Paperclip scientists here, that planned exterminations of masses of people, blacks, Jews, ethnics, through foods and testing and economic and biological warfare, call Rifkin the enemy. And of course, the LA Times, one of the major directors, has been Franklin Murphy, a high official in the CIA, and many of their reporters are from the intelligence community. April the 14th, the editorial, Rifkin Against the World, says, there's an epidemic of disease in swine. The disease is caused by a herpes-like virus. It's almost fatal in pigs, and the effect on food supplies is serious. Biologics Corporation in Omaha got a vaccine. To take care of this, the vaccine is genetically engineered. In January, the vaccine was shown to be effective and safe by the EPA. This was the first live product of genetic engineering for use in the environment. The potential benefits were incalculable. The potential risks were non-existent. Remember that with nuclear power, the benefits are incalculable. The risks are non-existent. This is an editorial. This month, it goes on, Jeremy Rifkin, the scourge of biotechnology, complained about environment impact. This same Rifkin has almost single-handedly stymied testing of genetically altered bacteria on plants, even though the bacteria would have the promise of reducing frost damage and increasing crop yield. It had a promise. Rifkin has cleverly used the courts to halt one of the most significant advances of our time. Who is this Rifkin? What are his credentials? He has a long history of opposing things. LA Times reviewers, and they cited them, called his books, these are the quotations on reviewing Rifkin's books, and keep in mind the major corporations and universities and the contracts of billions of dollars to push this through, such as they've pushed other things. A reviewer of his books called it flagrant flimflam, logical garbage, shameless potpourri of misinformation and faulty logic. I can identify with Rifkin because sleazy people, and I haven't written books, have attacked my articles and research with the same vehemence and anger and dirty. They won't take an issue at a time. They take a generality and will not stand to face a discussion. And because the LA Times had reviews of his books does not mean that the reviewer is right and doesn't mean that he isn't paid by the corporations that want to make, according to themselves, $100 billion off of these particular techniques. That's how much they want to make. The editorial says, somehow this man has emerged as the single most influential person in the country on genetic engineering. He has finally found an issue on which he can ride. Unfortunately for the rest of us, it is the wrong one. Knowledgeable scientists were right to worry about genetic engineering a decade ago. Now Rifkin's scenario of disaster from unleashed new organisms is groundless. It is time to thank Rifkin for his interest and show him the door. And I think it is time to show the door to IG Farben and DuPont and Roman Haas and the corporations from Belgium and Sweden who are not testing it in Belgium and Sweden but want to test it in the United States. Now, Jeremy Rifkin was able to answer that editorial with an article published in the same newspaper, April 27, 1986. And I don't very often read almost an entire article, but his words, as he states them, are better than my interpreting them. I outline many of the material I use, of course, every week. But I'm going to cite what he says because he knows what he's doing, and think of the editorial of that newspaper and the poison it disseminates. The title of his editorial in the Outlook section was, "Can Uncle Sam be trusted to police genetic engineering tests? Violations have occurred and mistakes are irreversible." And this is what he says. "In the past 2 months, two federal agencies were forced to suspend the license of two companies engaged in genetic engineering technology. First, Advanced Genetic Sciences," and that's the one that I've been talking about, and particularly being right in Monterey County in my own backyard. "They have violated federal laws by falsifying data on pathogenicity tests, and they secretly released genetically altered virus into the environment without securing approval of its own review committee." He said these revelations, first disclosed by his own group, the Foundation on Economic Trends, raises again new questions about the ability of the government to oversee biotechnology and the extent that industry itself can be trusted to police itself if it falsifies data and secretly releases this genetically altered bacteria without anybody knowing it and having to be caught by a few vigilant individuals and snowballing the interest in stopping these activities. He said, "These actions suggest we should take a step backwards, take a long look at the important issues that have to be addressed in an age of biotechnology." He said, "Every scientific and technological revolution is packaged with benefits and costs. Everybody will benefit in society and we will save money." He said, "The more powerful the technology in promising immediate economic benefit, the greater becomes the potential for long-term environmental, economic, and social dislocation. Genetic engineering provides civilization with the ultimate form of power over living forces in nature. We have now a technology at our disposal that allows us to begin intervening into the life of genetic blueprints of life." And again, keeping in mind Mr. Joseph Mengele, his genetic experiments, his relationship to Ernest Kaiser, Kaiser to Edwin Wilson and Turpel, Edwin Wilson and Turpel to von Bolschwing and von Damm, and the Reinhardt-Galen group, the genetic blueprint to change things is now available for people. He said there are many short-term benefits to be derived from emerging science and technology. However, it is naive and disingenuous to believe that there will be no adverse impact on the environment and on human society. He said in a survey of 127 top scientists published last December 85 in Science Digest, the respondents acknowledged that the potential of genetic engineering would be beneficial. But they warn, in quotes, "It is imprudent or careless that if the use is not right, if they're careless, it could do irreversible devastation and damage to the ecology of the planet." The word is irreversible if people are careless, or if you have an enemy. We worry about Gaddafi having an atomic bomb. What if you have an enemy in a laboratory, and Germany has plenty of enemies? After the Nazis went underground, they could decide to do a lot of harm, just like I think there's enemies in Russia that made sure that they start to have problems with the nuclear plants. He said, since World War II, the United States government policy has focused narrowly on the benefits of new science and technological breakthroughs. We have paid little or no attention to long-term environmental, economic, social costs, and innovation. And keep in mind, since World War II, that all the top scientists from the top schools and engineers have put into the military and defense department, and what we have now are microwaves that leak radiation on food, pesticides that cause cancer, and the people that are doing the destructive work for the government are the creme de la creme of the universities that are offered fat salaries that pay for their kindergarten, prep school, college, and graduate work, so they gollop these jobs because they've been in debt since preschool, since they were 3 years old. He said, at the beginning of nuclear technology and petrochemical revolution, the government failed to address hard questions concerning potential future to the environment and pollution. As a result, today's children and this generation has to deal with mounting environmental, economic, social bills that range from nuclear waste dumps and acid rain, and now the government wants to have a limit on responsibility if accidents happen, and there's no way to find the money to clean up the waste unless we took it from Star Wars and the Pentagon where it is, but we're putting it into new weapons and not to cleaning it up. He says, now comes genetic engineering, and once again, we fail to develop any coherent framework to assure a proper regard for health and humans and environment. Similar to the petrochemical revolution, now you find genetic engineering, genetically altered bacteria with absolutely no plan, as in the past there was no plan. Now he said this case is visibly apparent in the matter of the two licenses that were granted by the federal agencies allowing genetically engineered organisms into the environment. In both cases, the federal government was forced to suspend the licenses in the wake of disclosures detailing violations of federal law. In the first case, by AGS, Advanced Genetic Sciences, and the second by the Agricultural Department. And remember, AGS is run locally in Oakland by Mr. Buchart from Belgium, who goes back and forth between Oakland, California, and Belgium, and is not, for all purposes, an American citizen, but is running it from a foreign country. Mr. Jeremy Rifkin went on, the federal government has to establish vigorous oversight and ask the government to deliberate before they release live genetically engineered organisms in the environment. And I suggest for those of you in other states and places that subscribe to this broadcast or hear me on the air, it isn't just the California representative, Leon Panetta, who is fighting to stop the release of this material in California, but it's up to you to ask your congressman in your various states, wherever you are, what they're going to do about these living organisms. He goes on, there are important differences between genetically engineered products and petrochemical products. In case we don't know the difference, and he said you have to know the difference. Genetically engineered bacteria and products are alive. They are alive and inherently more unpredictable than chemicals. They interact with other living things. Consequently, it is much more difficult to assess the potential impact than a biotechnical product would have on the Earth's ecosystem. You may stop a pig's disease, but you don't know what you're releasing that will travel and affect other situations at the same time. He says genetically engineered products reproduce. They just don't sit there. They reproduce. They grow and they migrate. They make more of themselves. They duplicate at a tremendous speed. They grow and get larger, and they don't stay where they are. They move. And like petrochemical products, it is impossible to constrain them in a given geographical location. You can take 1 acre and say, we're going to spray it, but the wind blows in Monterey County. Goodness knows the wind blows, or anywhere else. Oh, in Oakland where the trees were sprayed, and they move, and you can't constrain them. And he said there's no such as a geographical locale where it stays. It is virtually impossible to recall living products back into the laboratory especially that are microscopic in nature. For all these reasons, genetically engineered products pose a much greater long-term potential threat to the environment than petrochemical substances. Every time we choose to introduce a new genetically modified organism into the environment, the potential for damage exists. This is Jeremy Rifkin from the Los Angeles Times, April 27, 1986, who has been fighting to preserve this planet as best he can. He said, each year the American continent is ravaged by non-native organisms with destruction to plant and animal life. And he says, it costs us billions of dollars. It doesn't save money that these things come here. And he cites gypsy moth and a kudzu vant and Dutch elm disease and chestnut blight and starlings and the Mediterranean fruit flies. Now, we had a situation last year that I still want to put on the air and haven't had time, where killer bees were brought to Bakersfield, California, and into Ohio. And there's a belief they came on ships from Brazil into Ohio, but there hasn't been any single explanation on how they came to California. And if they were to take over and destroy the other bees, weaker bees, there would be no cross-pollinization, and it would affect the crops and the food supply in the United States. Now, those bees were taken from Africa and brought to São Paulo, Brazil, where Joseph Mengele lived, and for all purposes until just recently. Robert Ernest Kaiser rather knew that he was in Brazil in February of 85. He's not there today, but it's in the laboratories where the great genetic scientist from Auschwitz, who came with Project Paperclip with other genetic people from Auschwitz to practice and do their medical research for the United States military, and then continued in South America at Fort Detrick, Maryland, and we'll go more back to the AIDS story in Fort Detrick, and the cross-pollinization bringing the killer bee to California came from Brazil. And it would be a terribly expensive thing if they didn't halt it fast. And in this case, they stopped it because with no explanation of how it got here, the next conclusion would have to be bringing it here and sabotaging the crops in California. And I'm just posing again the question, is this story of AGS going to destroy people and food in the United States and make life here a hazard with the potential of the altered bacteria? Now, Rifkin concludes his article for the LA Times. He said, when a genetically altered organism is released, there is only a small chance it will run amok because, like exotic organisms, it is alien to the environment in which it is being introduced. There is that chance because it was never here before. He said this genetically altered bacteria has been released into an already complex environment which developed its own course, a web of highly synchronized relationships over millions of years. And every time you enter a new synthetic introduction, it's tantamount to playing ecological roulette. Even though there's a small chance it could trigger an environmental explosion, and he doesn't talk about the admission of AGS that it would affect the immune system of people who are sick, just taking the genocidal possibilities, and he talks about the environment. He says, if it does, the consequences will be thunderous, and again, the scientist said, irreversible. Industry is expected in the next years, as it has in the past, to introduce thousands of new products, but the genetically altered bacteria are going into the thousands. The laboratories are zooming up and speaking about a $20 or $40 billion industry of genetically altered material put into the environment every year. Industry produced thousands of petrochemical products in the environment in the past years, and he says the sheer statistical probability suggests that a small percentage of genetically engineered organisms will prove dangerous and highly destructive. The long-term impact of thousands and thousands of introductions of genetically modified organisms could well eclipse by any order the magnitude of damage from the release of petrochemical products on the Earth's ecosystem. With biological engineered products, they're living, the damage is not containable, it is irreversible, the destruction will reproduce, the organisms can't be recalled, and that is the danger of going ahead with something that once you let one company know, you will have it in every backyard, everywhere in the United States. Now, accompanying the Outlook section that Jeremy Rifkin wrote about. There was a man from Monsanto Chemical talking about the benefits of manipulating this bacteria. His name is Will Carpenter. I'm not going to share that with you now because I want to do more on AGS, but I will go into what he says as a defense coming from a corporation that stands to make billions of dollars from administering this into the environment. He doesn't address the issues that Rifkin talks about. He has his own shtick from the point of the corporations, and he tells it to you. Now, March 28, 1986, there was a letter to the editor in the LA Herald, and it is symbolic of what has happened in the past years to this country, coming over from Nazi Germany and paperclip the scientists there and the American scientists who loved their studies and brought them to the United States. A letter to the editor titled, "Professor Should Practice What He Preaches," about CIA research. And it's about a professor from Harvard University, and Mr. Bogorod, one of the top directors of AGS, is the head of the biology at Harvard University, coincidentally. Herbert Kelman, K-E-L-M-E-N, discussed guidelines of the CIA working on campus and making it perfectly proper for them to work in the academic world. And this person reminded people who read the Herald that this writer, Mr. Kelman, has an obligation to reveal who he works for, and CIA people on campus should reveal who they work for, and they cited that Mr. Kelman, the man defending the CIA on campus, Kelman seems to have violated his own ethical canon by saying your background should be available, by failing to report his own receipt of funds from a notorious CIA operation, which was exposed September 1st, 1977 in the Boston Globe. Dr. Herbert Kelman admitted just in 1986 that he got funds from a grant of the Human Ecology. No, pardon me, it's 1977 when he admitted. He got funds from a grant from the Human Ecology Fund. And I bring it up because ecology is preserving society. The Human Ecology Fund, which came out at the time of after the Watergate hearings, he said that he didn't know until recently was a conduit of the CIA, but it was a $25 million program on mind control and human behavior designated as the MK Ultra. Some of you remember that and some of you don't. But the MK Ultra was a plan to destroy the minds of people in this country. And the point is that a professor from Harvard University got friends in the CIA and what you think is environmental protection or human ecology. When Jeremy Rifkin wants to protect the ecology, it's different than the millions of dollars that you taxpayers put, $25 million, into destroying the minds and bodies. So when you take intelligence communities with budgets of billions of dollars and you change the names, like Secretary of Defense is the Secretary of War, what you get is the CIA at Harvard. Well, why couldn't the CIA put money into Mr. Beauregard or Mr. Naylor or to Princeton, as they do at Harvard, and into AGS and into their overseas operations? Why wouldn't the CIA? When I cited William Colby, the CIA director, who talked about too many millions of Mexicans, and sure enough, the Mexicans are the farm workers that would be working out in the field that would be handling this particular material. So this letter, just a simple letter to the editor, shows that Mr. Kelman has served on many boards, he's received money over the years from federal agencies, he's on many projects, and that he is from the Central Intelligence Agency, worked with MKUltra, and has not been removed from any position. Even though the hearings came out, he continues writing to the Herald, writing letters to the editor, and has a position of power which uses titles that are false to hurt us physically and psychologically and caused many deaths. MK Ultra caused more deaths than Gaddafi has caused with his own terrorism. Now, I want to just cite an article that was in the San Francisco Examiner, March 26. We just have a little bit of time. It's about a director of advanced genetic sciences, Douglas Serojak, S-E-R-O-J-A-K, of AGS, who's standing at a chart identical to the way Caspar Weinberger stands at the chart of Grenada, the Gulf of Sidra. And the title of the article is "Biotech's Firm Stock is Up Despite EPA Controversy." Now, the gist of this article is that even though we were caught, we're going to do well. I'm confident that AGS will do fine. And you know, with the background of AGS, and the companies that I mentioned, that they will do fine. But the point is that Douglas Sarajak of AGS is talking to a group, and the group that he's talking to, that he's been invited to speak with, is the Commonwealth Club in California. That's a very prestigious group, like the World Affairs Council in San Francisco. And the meeting that he's having, the luncheon meeting or the group, is with the Commonwealth Club in California. Now, the Commonwealth Club is the exact club where William Colby, the CIA director, is trying to tell you we have to get rid of 30 or 40 million Mexicans. That's his subject of his speech. The world is overpopulated with Mexicans. Well, there's 20 to 30 Africans that have AIDS, and I just wonder how much of a coincidence is that the Commonwealth Club entertains a genocidal man, and almost every one of their guests has a potential genocide connection to the hanky-panky that's going on around the world, but they have entertained William Colby with the idea of destroying 30 to 40 million Mexicans he's talking about. And then when AGS is under fire for breaking regulations and for the potential to do harm, Douglas Sarajak is giving his little speech and praising his corporation. The article that was in the San Francisco Examiner says AGS was punished by the Environmental Protection Agency for unauthorized open-air tests recently of genetically altered bacteria. But Mr. Sarajak says this is only a temporary setback. We will weather the controversy. They falsified research reports on the gene splicing. They were reprimanded. But he said there's almost 200 biotechnology firms in the Bay Area alone. And he said this concern, it was raised on how small companies will deal with regulatory agencies. Well, AGS is not a small company, with people on the head of the biology department at Harvard and at Princeton, with Roman Haas and DuPont and IG, their connections, IG Farben and Standard Oil, and the international Belgium and Swedish connections. He refers, we're just a little company, and look what you're doing to us, but we'll bounce back. And the whole image, you're coming down on a little company who wants to help society, is a bunch of hogwash. The article says the Cetus Corporation in Emeryville, California, is doing genetics. The Environmental Protection Agency is helping the biotechnology industry. There are regulations, and they are using them. And it was wrong to have sprayed in Castroville. It was wrong to have sprayed in California the past 10 months, actually, pardon me. But he says, we'll work on it, and we'll clean up our act. And Sarajak is the marketing director, as he lectured to the Commonwealth Club. This is March 15th, 1986, with full confidence of the Environmental Protection Agency. The editor of Medical Technology Stock Letter said there is money in this kind of business, and when you suspend and hurt the businesses, you delay testing, and we have to get the product to the market. Again, the money. The Wall Street Journal reacted to AGS and said the shares went down at first, but then it went way up. They have a good public relations firm they have hired. I cited the name on the air about 4 months ago, and now even if the stock goes down, they are swinging in the big chips, and they're ready to continue. John Bedbrook, Vice President Director of the Research of AGS, says the suspension will delay us only 3 months, but it won't be long before Frostban will be very lucrative. It'll be on the market, and they intend, now listen to this, the long-term outlook is a $100 billion industry within 9 years. By 1995, $100 billion in growth hormones, altered products, genetically altered products. Now, can you believe if they're spending $400 million by 1987 in biotechnology, that $100 billion, that the planet Earth can be protected or even survive, given the accident ability or the sabotage or the group of the Fourth Reich to pollute or poison us? Can you see what Mr. Rifkin is talking about, the chances of error? One strawberry leaf sprayed isn't going to kill you, me, or anybody, but a $100 billion industry in 1995 is horrendous. Forget the atomic problems in the atomic plant in the Soviet Union. Start looking in the United States and see what is happening to us as people, to our food, what we're going to eat, the air, what they're letting out of the laboratory, and trace it back to Auschwitz and Mengele and the Fuhrer and the Kurt Waldheims and the Mengeles, and see how America is used and abused and what is going to happen to us. I am out of time now, but I'm going to continue on AGS next week, because It is terribly important, and when Rifkin gets the attention of Time magazine and editorials, they're beginning to put the heat and squeeze, and we have to defend him and study what he's doing and fight for our own health and safety and appreciate the efforts that some people are making to call attention to those things. This is Mae Brussel, and I'll be back with you next week, and as I say, to continue hopefully along these lines.